Barbara and I plan to share this pulpit this morning, and I'm going to try real hard not to go over into her half too much. Let's pray. Pray for me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to break this bread, your word, and to share in the partaking and eating of this spiritual bread this morning by your word. We just pray we'll be nourished by this precious bread of life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Last two Sundays, well, we weren't here last Sunday. The last two Sundays that we were here, Barbara taught on the gifts of the Spirit, and she was more or less finishing up on her last session with prophecy, and I'm going to do a little finale on that, and then she's going to move in, Lord willing, move in this morning into the other gifts of the Spirit, specifically the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. And by the way, most of the time, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, most of them are very prophetic. They don't have to be prophetic, but they can be very prophetic. And so I believe this is going to tie in as I kind of finish up on what we have prepared for the prophetic. I'm going to tie into word of knowledge and word of wisdom this morning that Barbara's going to share. It's something, you know, that being in the Christmas season really brings to my thought that when God's ready to do a special supernatural event, he precedes it with prophecy. If you're any Bible scholar at all, you will realize that the Bible is full of the prophetic, and that you have this prophecy of something about to take place, or even to take place right away, or maybe way into the future, but there was this prophetic word that would come forth from heaven itself, from the heart of God, and then in the fulfillment of that would be the manifestation and the event. The coming of the Lord Jesus in his birth in the manger in Bethlehem was prophesied, you know, hundreds of years, and I suppose dozens of times before he actually was born in that manger. But when it's the word of God, the prophecy does come to pass. And so we have these events that take place throughout history, and they were preceded by the prophetic word. Now, I've got a lineup for the computer technician back there on scriptures to show on the screen, but I've got a couple scriptures before that won't be on the screen. I want to take you to Amos, if you brought your Bible, Amos 3:7, I believe it is. Amos is back there, and they call them the minor prophets, those little tiny books at the end of the Old Testament where the pages of your Bible still stuck together. And there's this little guy, Amos, I believe he's between Joel and Obadiah, if you're looking there. But in Amos 3, verses 7 and 8, we have something very interesting here. Surely the Lord God does nothing. Now we could stop there and say God's, you know, sitting in heaven twiddling his thumbs. You know, we need to get the whole word, right? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless, everybody say unless. Unless he reveals his secret to his servants, who? The prophets. Who does he reveal these things to first? Now, the event is designed to reveal to everybody that's willing to see. But the prophetic is revealed first to the prophets. Now, the prophets are, this is, you know, it could go into great, long, extensive teaching, which we won't do this morning because I'm not prepared. But, you know, the prophet, everybody, you know, most people get kind of afraid of a prophet because they're afraid maybe he's going to say, predict or prophesy something bad's going to come into their life. No, if it's a spirit-filled, God-filled prophet, he may prophesy something that would seem kind of bad to your flesh, but it would be in the disciplinary realm to help you become a better person. And for things to be better in your life, for you to have a better ordered life. So don't ever be afraid of a godly prophet, because he can help direct you into better things. And another word for this is seer. The Bible uses this sometimes, S-E-E-R, seer. You know, the prophet sees things that we maybe, well, it says here, and Amos said he sees the secrets that God had. That's pretty wild, huh? Another word that's come on in our more recent vernacular, more recent language, is harbinger. Did I say it right? Harbinger or harbinger? This is another Let me just read you what that is. You might wonder, what is a harbinger? Well, I have it written down somewhere. God knows where. A harbinger is a messenger or a herald. One of the old English words for harbinger is herald. You know, hark the herald, angels sing. It's an announcement. Now, it can be an announcement of negative, or it can be an announcement of positive. It depends on, you know, who's talking and whose heart it comes from and the purpose of the prophecy. So we got prophet, we got seer, we got harbinger, and these things all play into the prophetic. But God always uses something along this prophetic line to show us about what he's going to do. And he showed us in the Word of God and in the Old Testament specifically many times that Jesus was going to be born. And was he born? Amen. So there's one great example, greatest of all examples, a prophecy coming to pass before the, and then other Old Testament examples, just in brief here. God spoke to Noah, said there's going to be a flood, going to destroy all the wicked. 120 years later, what happened? Okay, this tells us right away, the prophecy may not come to pass tomorrow. In Noah's case, it could have been 120 years. And God spoke to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, your descendants are going to be as many as the stars in the sky, as many as the seas, sands on the seashore. Now, this is still happening. This prophecy has been fulfilled in part and is continually being fulfilled. Huh? And so this prophetic is very creative and ongoing, maybe for eternity. How long? Who knows how long? Amen. God spoke to Abraham, so you're going to have a son. Abraham gets ahead of God and he goes and gets Sarah, his wife's handmaid. And, you know, they have a baby boy. And God says, you got it all wrong, Abraham. I told you, the prophecy says you're going to have a son by Sarah, not by Hagar. And so, you know, they had to reroute, go to plan B, which was actually plan A, and bring forth a son through Sarah. But this is prophetic. And the supernatural prophetic preceded the supernatural event. Well, it's still happening today. God told Abraham he would be a blessing to all nations. He's still at that. It's still being fulfilled. Amen? Samuel prophesied of King Saul's loss and David's rise. And it happened. Amen. Daniel prophesied many things in the world events. Many of those things have already come to pass, and some are in process, still coming to pass. John the Baptist, he prophesied when he saw Jesus coming down the Jordan River for baptism. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. That was a prophetic word. Well, the event began to take place when they hung Jesus on the cross and the sins began to be washed away by his blood. Hallelujah. We're still enjoying that prophecy, the fulfillment of that prophecy today. Amen. In Acts chapter 9, New Testament, this Christian man named Ananias was brought into Paul's life when Paul used to persecute the church. His name at that point was Saul. Later they began to call him Paul. But Ananias was brought into Paul's life and says, you know, God's going to use you to reach the Gentile nations with the gospel. And God's going to use you in many mighty ways. And God, you're going to suffer for my name's sake. This was a prophetic word that preceded the supernatural events that took place. And I believe these are very important to us because we have heard as a church in the last number of years, we've heard many prophetic words. And in the flesh, it's easy to hear a word and say, well, I heard that before. Where is it? Where is it? Well, I've heard that before. Where is it? Why does God keep saying that? Is it really God saying that or just the preacher's wife? I mean, well, I remind you of God's prophecy to Noah. 120 years later, it came to pass. You know, we could go down the list, and even the ones I mentioned here. Many times, the event took place a long time after the prophetic word. So be patient, but be ready. Because if it was a supernatural prophecy, if it was a supernatural, spiritually inspired harbinger, it will come to pass with an event that only God can make happen. That's what we want. That's what we want. Don't we want God, the events that God makes happen? Yes. Amen. So take heart with prophecy. It's a really powerful thing, and it's very important to the church. We all know the story in the Christmas story. It's Christmas season. We need to bring that into it. But the Holy Spirit, the angel appeared to Mary. And by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the angel prophesies to Mary and says, you're going to have a baby boy. And you're going to name his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. And Mary says, well, all due respect, sir, but I'm not even married. And, you know, well, you mean I'm going to have a baby? And he says, the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And this holy thing that's born of you will be of God. Wow. And, you know, she had the faith to say, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your prophecy. Be it unto me according to your harbinger. The angel was like a harbinger. His message was a harbinger. Amen. We find that fulfillment. We can go to the screen now, I believe, Isaiah 7:14. So you pick up on the scripture. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. Now that's a sign, brother. And shall bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel translates as God with us. Anybody here name Emmanuel? I know we got a little guy upstairs sometimes named Emmanuel. Yeah. God with us. Terrific name. But this was a supernatural prophecy preceding the supernatural event. And when God says it, brother, you can take it to the bank. Amen? Did you ever find Amos? You want me to share that scripture with you? Huh? Well, I did that. Now, I want to go a little further. In 7, it said, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, listen to the next verse. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? Okay, use your imagination. Roar! A lion roars. Who's not going to fear? Well, everybody's going to fear when they hear the lion roar. Okay, the next line says, the Lord God has spoken. So, who can but prophesy? Oh, I love this. Think about that. The Lord God has spoken, so who can but prophesy? God has spoken, somebody's going to prophesy. When God speaks to his prophets, when he speaks to his seers, when he speaks to his heralds, his messengers, hallelujah, they're going to prophesy. If the lion roars, we get like this, woo-hoo-hoo, run, run. When God speaks, we can expect a prophecy. Amen. Anyway, I just wanted to play with that a little bit. I just love it. And I need to be careful here. I'll go all day. Okay, 2 Peter, on the lineup back there, Mark, do 2 Peter, first chapter, starting with 16th verse. Everybody's ready? Everybody's happy? Me too. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I while you're looking for 2 Peter chapter 1, Barbara and I were coming to town this morning, and I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit say something, so I said it to Barbara, and she said, where'd that come from? I said, well, I think the Lord just spoke it to me. So I grabbed a pencil and paper and wrote it down. You know, that's a good idea. You should always keep a pencil and paper handy because it's illegal to put it down on your cell phone while you're driving. Half of them got the joke. But I just heard it like this. I could hear the Lord saying to us as a church, have a very Merry Christmas and a year of increase in all good things. I mean, you know, we're on the Merry Christmas thing, but it's like I felt like this was more of a New Year's message. And so we're going to preach this from now to New Year's. Think about that. Have a very Merry Christmas and a year of increase in all good things. And we just said amen to that. How would you like to have all good things as God increases them in your life? Well, I'm saying this prophetically because I believe I heard it from the Lord. So let's just begin to grab a hold of that right now. Let's begin to exercise our faith towards that. 2017 is going to be a year of increase in my life in all good things. Just lay hold of that. Begin to prophesy it out of your own mouth. Amen. Did you find 2 Peter? Chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. I didn't know this was a Christmas passage, but it seems like in the last couple of weeks, everywhere I turn the Bible, I see Christmas. Isn't that odd? Where is it on the board? We did not follow cunningly devised fables about Santa Claus. All due respect to Santa Claus, I think he's a jolly old soul. But did you know he's a cunningly devised fable to get you to turn your eyes off of Jesus? So keep him in his place. Keep him about halfway up the chimney and let him stay there. Now, so, you know, if somebody sends you a Christmas card, it's got Santa Claus on it, don't rip it up. Say, I curse this, renounce this curse in Jesus' name. Don't get that religious on us here, okay? Santa Claus won't hurt you unless you let him hurt you. But then I was just absolutely surprised when I read this. I said, Barbara, I found a Christmas scripture in Peter, of all places. And here it is. We do not follow cunningly devised fables. And when I read that, I just saw a vision of Santa Claus. Think about it. But we didn't follow this when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now that's the real Christmas. Peter says we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, not Santa Claus. And we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Oh, hallelujah. Now from the time they met Jesus, they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He was the king of all kings, and that's as majestic as it gets. I just think about this word majesty at a time like this, and I just want to get on my knees and bow before his majesty. He's the king, brother. I mean, he's not just a king, he's the king. Nobody, no one on this planet, no one off of this planet has more power, more authority, more majesty, more personality than the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture teaches us through the Apostle Paul that he is the express image of the Father. If you want to know what God looks like, the Bible says Jesus is the express image of the Father. Wow. That's majestic. Sometimes my tongue gets in front of my eye tooth. And I can't see what I'm trying to say. Oh, Lord, help me. In verse 17, for he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the baby that was born in the manger. The one that received from God the Father honor and glory. The one that heard from God as God spoke over him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Whose son was Jesus? I mean, yeah. He was the Father's son. Think about that. This is Christmas. When it talks about Jesus and his Father God, we're talking about Christmas. Because Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. God himself in spirit came into her body, into her womb. You say, how can that be? Hey, how did he say, let there be light, and there it comes? It's what makes him God. You say, well, my mind can't figure these things out. That's what makes him God. The minute you start figuring something out with your own reasoning, you just lost God. The very evidence that he is God is in the very questions that he places in our natural mind, saying, how can this be? And we need to be like the Virgin Mary and say, be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you say, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to believe it. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what they believe or don't believe. I'm believing the truth. That'll get you to heaven. That'll even help you bring heaven to earth in this day and time. Let's go to verse 18. He's talking about here in verse 17 and 18 go together. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Where's the best place to hear from heaven? Way up high. You need to get your spirit up high. Get your spirit up high where you can hear from God. Okay, let's go to 19. And so we have the what? Whoops, we lost it off the screen. Okay, you can follow along your Bible. Verse 19. So we have the prophetic word confirmed. Jesus is the confirmation of the prophetic word. The coming of the Lord, his birth in Bethlehem, his majesty, his glory, his honor, his sonship, and all that he is, was then, is now, and all that he'll ever be in the future is all prophetic. And it's continually coming to pass. He says, you will do well to take heed. That means you need to pay attention. When the Bible says take heed, that means pay attention. And because as a light that shines in a dark place. Did you know Jesus was the light that shined in a dark place? Remember the star? Remember the star that led the wise men to the manger? You might say, oh, that was just a comet. You know, that's the reasoning of the world. Well, if that was really part of the event, then there was a comet that they followed, this comet. I think if you knew anything at all about astrology, is it astrology or astronomy? Thank you, teacher. Astronomy. Astrology is the junk stuff, and astronomy is the stars. Yeah. See, there, it pays to have a teacher now. I believe if you would visit with any astronomer, he would tell you that comets don't travel throughout the eternities of space and then stop for a pit stop over Bethlehem at a specific manger. That wasn't no comet, baby. That was a supernatural star of God. I don't know what it looked like. I wasn't there. You can ask those wise guys when you get to heaven where they are. But I guarantee you it wasn't no comet. These comets don't stop at the manger. But that's interesting here. He says, take heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star. Maybe the star they saw was a morning star. I don't know. And the morning star, that's Jesus, he rises in your hearts. The morning star will lead us to the manger. The manger presents to us Jesus. Everybody said amen to that. Now, verse 20 is important because we're talking about prophecy here and mixing Christmas with it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, the word private here is key. You could say it like this. No prophecy of Scripture is of any carnal interpretation, man-made interpretation, generated by the brain of man or the mentality of man. No. No scripture came from man. No prophecy out of scripture came. Because prophecy comes from God, doesn't it? And it tells us here in the next verse, 21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke. Now what made them speak? As they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I believe when you find a holy man that's speaking prophecy, he's going to keep his mouth shut until he's moved on by the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? The last two lines. Holy men of God spoke when they wanted to. Holy men spoke when they felt like it. No, that's when they keep their mouth shut if they're a holy man. Holy men speak when they're moved by the Holy Spirit. True prophecy is a movement of the Holy Spirit proceeding a supernatural event that God wants to make manifest in our lives. A scripture I did not look up, it just popped into my memory right now. You know, everybody's got this monitor and your memory brings it up on a monitor. And I saw the scripture in the Old Testament, I just didn't see chapter and verse. But it says, you'll know a prophet if he's a true prophet, if his prophecy comes to pass. Amen? And so, praise God for prophecy. Amen. Here's a little note I made as I was working on this star thing, the morning star and him rising in our hearts. And I wrote this down just out of my own thoughts. Jesus the Christ, the Savior, the King, rises in our hearts by the revealed truth of his being. And by the Holy Spirit, the prophecy of yesteryear is made alive to us today. The prophecy of yesteryear, you know where yesteryear is? It's back beyond yesterday. Okay, you got that? I don't even know if that's correct English. But the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the prophecy of yesterday or yesteryear is made alive today by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a prophetic book. Genesis to Revelation, it's a prophetic book. And everything that God prophesied has, is being, or will come to pass. You can take it to the bank. It's good money. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Barbara, you need to get ready because I'm finding a good pause right here. As Barbara comes, I'll take just a minute to thank you for your offerings and for your giving. We really appreciate your giving. And it's really important because I just love it when a heater works and the lights are on. And we have a dear brother that drives all the way from Bisbee every Sunday that worked on our heater. You know, I was here a couple of weeks ago and the heater went out in the middle of the service and early on, and you know, we're all shivering in here, you know, and the little electric heater's going and it didn't make much difference. And well, that nice person from Bisbee got permission from his wife to leave town and he come fixed our heater for us. If you want to know who that is, well, just ask around, you'll figure it out. Thank you, Ramon. Praise the Lord. It's just good, you know, that we have enough money to fix things when they go wrong. And oh, by the way, I used your money to pay him the repairs. You know, he had to buy some stuff, you know, fan belts and wires and all that. You got to buy that stuff. Well, I used your money to buy it. Okay. So is that all right? You enjoy the heat? I mean, we're just playing with this, but I'm telling you, your money counts in little things as well as big things. We also send it to the Bible publishers so they can print more Bibles. We send it to missionaries so they can go deeper into the jungle. Amen? Praise God. Thank you again for your giving. You're doing the right thing. It's your turn, baby.
Amen. Calvin had asked me to go on with Word of Wisdom and Word of Knowledge because it does tie into prophecy. And we'll go into some scripture on that later, but we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12:8, and we're just going to move these scriptures quickly. And if we have time right at the end, I just want you to be thinking, if you've received a word of knowledge, and you'll know when you hear the word describe it, or a word of wisdom, and you have a testimony about it, testimonies bring to life. It make it real. You know, it just brings it to life. This is happening to real people. You know, these things of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:8, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So the word of wisdom and word of knowledge both comes by the Spirit. In the word of knowledge in the Greek is gnosis. It means knowing, knowledge, also science. The word of knowledge does not refer to intelligence or education. It's a word of knowledge, not all knowledge on a subject. It's a word or fragment of knowledge of God concerning facts or events supernaturally revealed that the individual has no way of knowing on their own. It's just a word that God puts in our spirit. That's a word from Him, something we didn't know on our own. A word of wisdom is the active supernatural agent through which either spiritual or natural wisdom can be imparted. Business solving, human problems. You know, sometimes we don't know, you know, we don't know an answer, but God always has the answer in His wisdom. Hallelujah. And a word of wisdom can bring us the word that we need right at the moment for understanding. It's not, the word of wisdom isn't all of God's wisdom on a subject. It's a flash, a divine glimpse of the truth of God on a certain matter. Many times we need a word of wisdom to know what to do with a word of knowledge. God will give us a word of knowledge about something that's going to happen, and then we need a word of wisdom on what to do about that. And we'll see some examples in just a little bit. God's revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Satan's counterfeits are fortune-telling, witchcraft, psychics, the Ouija board. And so there's a God's side and the devil's side of seeing supernaturally. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge often work with other gifts of the Spirit. Many times when you're in people that have a healing anointing upon them, they'll receive a word of knowledge about someone that has a condition in the congregation, and they can call it out, and that person, then it sparks their faith, and they're healed, you know. And so a lot of the gifts of the Spirit operate and move together. A lot of words of knowledge and words of wisdom come forth in the gift of prophecy. And wisdom, the word of wisdom, we're going to look a little bit about wisdom. Just as man searches his memory for knowledge stored away, so the Spirit searches the infinite reservoir of divine wisdom for what he desires to reveal at the time. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14, and this is just so rich and powerful. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no one has seen, no one's ever heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And so many people stop with that. We don't know. No mind knows. But going on to verse 10, it says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one knows a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except through God's own Spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. And so God does not want to hide things from us. He wants to hide things for us. He wants us to find his wisdom. Amen. 14, but people who aren't spiritual cannot receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. And because we have the Spirit of God living in us, and if we spend time in fellowship with him and in contact with the Spirit, those wisdom will come up. You know, it'll come in. The word of knowledge and word of wisdom are manifested through an inward revelation, just a knowing. I know in my spirit. You know, sometimes people say, I know that I know that I know. It's a deep knowing. You know, it's an inward revelation. And sometimes it's the voice of the Spirit, a prophetic word that these things come forth. Sometimes God speaks through visions or dreams. We're going to look at examples of all of these in the scripture. In inward revelation, in John 6:61, I didn't write it down, but it said Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He didn't hear him with his ear, but he knew in himself that they were complaining. And so that's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. He knew it. We're going to John 4:17 through 18. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And so she didn't tell him these things, but he knew he had an inward revelation of these things. And she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. And anyway, she received that day the living water from God. But him knowing what she didn't tell him opened her heart to receive him. Amen. Matthew 21, 2 through 3. Jesus saying unto them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. That was a word of knowledge. Loose them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. That was the wisdom in the matter. here's a word of knowledge of what you're going to find, and here's what you say to the owners. That's word of wisdom and word of knowledge working together. Luke 22:34. Then Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. This was a word of knowledge. He said, you'll know. Amen. Years ago, when we first went to Batopilas, before we went to Batopilas or even knew that there was a town named Batopilas, there was a missionary that we knew living in Mozambique on an orphanage. And she began praying in the spirit, and she kept saying the word over and over and over, Batopila, Batopila, Batopila. And she just said, that's important. And then a little later, the Lord showed her that it was a little town in the bottom of a canyon along a river, in Mexico. And she said, and then the Lord told her, you need to go call Calvin and Barbara about it. And she had to walk 2 hours from where the orphanage was to the nearest town where she could call us. She had to wade through a river that was neck deep, that was full of hippopotamuses and crocodiles. But it was the word that God put in her heart in Mozambique that she needed to call us. And she called us and she said, there's a town in Mexico named Batopilas, and you need to find it. Do you know it? And I said, we don't. She said, ask Bobby, find out where it is. There's something God wants you to do there. And so we didn't find it on a map. It turned out that it was way in the very southern part of Chihuahua, in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness area. But then we called Bobby, and he had never heard of it. But just a week later, he was preaching at a little Spanish church in a tiny little pueblo high in the mountains of Colorado. It was a tiny congregation. And guess what? Two of the families in that congregation were from Batopilas. So he found out where it was. And then very shortly thereafter, just a little bit, Calvin and I just felt a need to go on a prayer journey in through Chihuahua. And there was a pastor in Chihuahua City we had never met. Juan had met him. Juan and Maria de Villapata went with us. And anyway, we met him at a restaurant in Chihuahua City. And he walked in. We had never met him. He didn't know us. We didn't know him. And he didn't even say hello. He went and he pointed at us. He says, you all need to go to Batopilas. He says, I've been there one time. I was never so afraid in my whole life as when I went there. But you guys have to go. You have to go to Batopilas. And then the next day we went on further south to Delicias, and we went to Jorge Chow's house. We had never met him before. Some of you know him here. But we had walked into his living room. We hadn't been there 5 minutes, and he brought us an album, and he said, a while back, my family and I went on just a vacation trip to Batopilas, but he said, when I got outside of the town, I stopped to look down on it, and God began to give me prophecies for the town. And he had all of these pictures of Batopilas and the names and the prophecies that the Lord gave him beside the different pictures. And so those are examples of words of knowledge. And then I could go on and tell you a whole lot more about, you know, all the awesome things that God did there and how we were involved there. But those are examples of words of knowledge that we needed to hear. And you know, God used a lady in an orphanage in the backwoods of Mozambique to call us. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, it did. Okay, we're going to go on from there. And we've seen it in prayer lines before. One time we were ministering in York, Pennsylvania, and there was a big prayer line that people came up wanting prayer, and this gentleman was in front of Calvin, and Calvin said, your grandfather was a Methodist preacher. And he just began to weep. He said, nobody here knows that. And he began to weep, and he received the word that God had for his heart. One time I was praying for a lady, and the Lord told me something that happened when she was 4 years old. And she just began to weep and cry. And she said, nobody knows that. Not even my husband knew that happened to me. But it it was a witness to her that opened her heart to receive what God wanted to do in her heart. So words of knowledge are very important tools that God uses. We're going to look at some examples of prophetic words in the voice of the Spirit. Acts 11:28 through 30. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And so that was a word of knowledge that a great famine was coming. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea, and they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And so through a word of prophecy, they heard what was going to happen, and they used wisdom to know what to do about it. God wanted them to know what was going to happen so that they would be able to do something to help. Amen. When Jesus met Peter, he was an impetuous, rough fisherman that just looked hard, you know, on the outside. But inside, Jesus saw a diamond in the rough. Look who Peter was in the church. Hallelujah. And he was just a rough old fisherman to the natural eyes, but God saw beyond the natural eye what was inside of him. And when Jesus looked at Nathanael, he said, "Behold an Israelite in whom is no guile." He had never met him. He didn't know, but he had that inward knowledge. Here's a man without guile. Well, the purpose of prophetic words and words of knowledge, anything that the Spirit brings up, the purpose is not to expose the dirt, but to find the diamonds, find the gold, find the true. And I believe God wants to give us, as the body of Christ, words of knowledge. You know, everybody has a calling on the inside of them. Everybody has something that they can do that the kingdom of God needs, that this world needs. And sometimes they don't see it. But if God will open our eyes and show us, we can help bring out those hidden treasures that are within them. And I think this is especially important for youth and for children, that people of God see deeper than the way they're cutting up and, you know, carving habit, that they see beyond, they see deeper. What abilities does this have? What treasures are in this child? And if they discover the treasures within them and what they are passionate about, their whole life will be different. And God wants to give his people eyes to see that will, you know, we can say we're miners. You know, we're miners. All you see is a pile of dirt, but there's diamonds hidden in there. And so as God's people, we're miners. Find that precious. Find that anointing and that calling. God locates lost items or people. In 1 Samuel 10, 21 through 22, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul the son of Kish was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered and said, "There he is, hidden among the equipment." God had a word for him. He wanted to anoint him king, and he was afraid, and he went and hid in the equipment, and God told them where he was. You can find him there, and they did. Hallelujah. Visions and dreams. God speaks words of wisdom and words of knowledge through visions and dreams. Acts 9, 10 through 12. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." And the next verse, I'm going to read it in the Message version, in verse 13. This would have been Ananias speaking, and he said, "Master, you can't be serious. Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's doing. You're telling me to go see the Saul of Tarsus that's killing Christians? You can't be serious, don't you know?" But God had a plan for Paul, for Saul. He had a plan to turn him into Paul, and was a mighty, wrote most of our New Testament. And so God knows. And so here a word of knowledge came through a vision or dream. In Genesis 41, God gave Pharaoh a dream, and God gave Joseph the interpretation through the word of knowledge. And then through a word of wisdom, God gave him a plan to see the country of Egypt through the famine. So those were word of wisdom and word of knowledge and word of wisdom working together. We're going down to Daniel 2, 16 through 19. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him some time. This was when he had had the dream and couldn't remember the dream, that he might tell the king the interpretation. That was wisdom for him to ask for time. Then Daniel went to his home and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, so that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Ah, hallelujah. So that was was wisdom, word of wisdom and word of knowledge working there. Well, there's a whole lot of, I'm going to skip over some things. There's an interesting scripture in Exodus 31:3, and God, it's God's wisdom for craftsmanship. And it says, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." So here God anointed someone to know how to make something beautiful and right. He anointed him with natural knowledge, but it came from the Lord. There used to be a man named Letourneau that developed most of the real large equipment, and God would show him visions in the night and dreams in the night, and he listened to what the Lord said and developed large equipment, and he became a multi-millionaire, and he gave 90% of his profits to the Lord. But God spoke to him about natural things. There was a man named Krauss that God gave him a dream of a plow, and he made the plow, and it worked. And it just was, it was like a witty invention that helped farming. And so God has divine wisdom that he wants to give to you and you and you and you and you and you and you. God wants to give us things in our mind that will not only be a blessing to us, but it'll be a blessing to the world we live in and the kingdom of God. And all wisdom belongs to God, but he's inside of us. He's with us, and he wants us to tap into his spirit and into his wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read James 3:17 in the Message. That's skipping down a few places. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. Hallelujah. So, heavenly wisdom comes from the Father, and we access it by walking with God and walking with the Spirit, listening to Him. And I believe we're in a special time of history. I just feel an excitement about the time we live in, a real excitement. And I believe God wants to exalt His people to places of influence and knowledge and even wealth. And the purpose that God gives us wealth is to establish His kingdom. From that's Deuteronomy 8:18. And so, but I just am praying that today God will create in your heart a hunger to be sensitive to His gifts. Gifts are something that you want to give. Gifts, the gifts of the Spirit are something God wanted to give to us. His body, His people. And I want to just create a hunger in you to listen, to hear with your heart, to hear with your spiritual ears. And God wants to bless you. God wants to put ideas in your mind for business, for making money. He wants to put ideas in your mind of things that will bless this world. Hallelujah. God wants to give you ideas that nobody else is doing right now that would be a blessing to our community. You know, sometimes people will start businesses, but it's the same old thing, they don't last. But God, there's some things our community would delight in and enjoy, but we need to hear it from the Spirit of the Lord and it'll be a success. We're in a time where, God wants to bless us in so many ways, but He wants us to be spiritually alert so that we can have words of knowledge about people that will help lift them up for the purposes and plans God has for their life. You know, God wants you to do, you know, there's these gifts and callings that I'm seeing by the Spirit in you. Bring it to their attention. Let it begin to wake it up so that they'll know where they're going. Amen. Hallelujah. We just have a few minutes, but if someone has a testimony about a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that you just want to share, it just helps bring it to light.
I heard that. I'm getting up and she's like, Nina always has something to say. I was remembering, at least in my own personal experience, there's been times when I've lost something. Like a debit card, keys, and like those moments where you're like tearing the house apart and you're not even really thinking, you're just like freaking out that you lost this thing. And it always seemed, a specific time I remembered was my debit card, and I couldn't find my debit card. And then you start like freaking out, and then you get, at least for me, I get like the first thing that pops is like, somebody stole it and they're going to use it. And like, you know, you start thinking all these horrible things. And I was like looking everywhere, I just kept hearing like a little voice, you know, that still small voice, like, why don't you pray? Like, why don't you ask God? And I was like, I don't have time for that. I got to look for my debit card. And I'm like looking everywhere. And then finally it was like, duh, you know, God, there's nothing hidden from God. He knows exactly where it is. And I was like, God, you know, I really need to find my debit card. Where's my debit card? And, you know, I just heard in my spirit, like, the feeling, like, go check your car. Like, God, I checked my car 100 times. I'm not. And I kept, like, looking everywhere. And it was like, go check in the car. Go check in the car. And I wouldn't. And finally, I was like, fine. I'm going to go check in the car. And it had fallen in between like the center console and my seat. But you know, in the rush, when you're crazy, you don't look and you don't see, but God knows. And it was there, and praise the Lord. And Jessica's up in nursery, but I remember her telling me that her mom, they only have one car for their family, and they couldn't go anywhere because they lost their keys. And she's like, they had like doctor's appointments and things that they needed to go to, and they couldn't find their keys. And so she was having to like drive in places and whatever. And she's like, you know, they can't find the keys. They need to go do something. And it's like, God, you know, where are the keys? And she wasn't even with them. And she had just been praying, and she felt like, her stepdad, his name's Danny. And she's like, they're in Danny's pants. I'm like, that's weird. That's weird. And so she told them, you know, like, have you checked Danny's pants? And they're like, yes, we've looked everywhere. Like, if they were in his pockets, they would have known. And you know, he checked his pockets. They're not there. And she's like, no, like, and so they kept looking all day. And when Jessica got out of work, she went there and she just kept feeling to check Danny's pants. So she went up to him and started like, and in the cuff of his pants, like this, the keys had fallen into the cuff of his pants and they were in his pants, not in his pockets, but they were in his pants. So no matter what, God knows. He knows.
That's cool. Amen. Any more testimonies?
Sharon and I were going to a church. It was a mission outreach, and the church had grown sufficient enough, they decided that they needed to step out on their own. And the first thing they needed was a set of bylaws. And so the men started meeting once a week, every week, and we were writing the bylaws, and we were going through. And this one night, it came down to a point of, when is somebody saved? And this one side, it was evenly divided on the sides of the table. One side said this, and one side said this, and they were very dogmatic about it. And they were arguing back and forth to the point they were ready to get up and start fist fighting. Okay, brothers, you know, I'm sitting there listening to them. I could see both sides of what they were saying, but I would try to offer wording, but it wouldn't satisfy either group. And they were just getting madder and madder by the minute. And finally I said, okay, that's it. Let's stop and pray. And one of them actually said, pray? What good would that do? And I said, let's just pray. And so I stopped and we prayed. And I said, Lord, you know the words that will exactly fit this situation. And when I ask you for peace and ask you to give us those words. And just immediately I said something and both of them said, that's it. That's exactly what we mean. And I mean, it fit both sides. And so just like what Nina was saying, when you're beside yourself, you don't know what to do, you're up against the situation, stop and pray. Lord, give me that wisdom. Give me the knowledge. You know exactly what's going on.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. Anybody else? Something to share?
Well, this was a long time ago, 1998. I was married and we lived in Bakwashi. And we didn't have luxuries. You know, we had an old refrigerator that I had to use extension cord to a certain outlet. You know, there wasn't many outlets in that little house. And so the refrigerator didn't work very well. And at night, a voice woke me up and said to me, disconnect the cord, the refrigerator cord. And I said, that's weird, you know. So I was obedient. I got up and I disconnected the cord. When I went, I had noticed that water was starting to come out from the refrigerator. And so I thought, wow, you know, that was God telling me disconnect the cord because we were going to walk on it, on the water, and the electricity was there. You know, he was letting us know. That at the same place, this was another time that God woke me up and told me there was a grillo. How do you call it in English? A grillo, that one that cricket, okay. Anyway, there was a grillo that wouldn't be quiet all night long. And my husband was angry. He was upset because he wouldn't let us sleep. And I had fallen asleep, but my husband got up and he was moving all the furniture and getting mad because he couldn't find the grillo. And he was so mad he punched a hole in the wall. And I just laid there and I prayed and I asked God, my Lord, show me where the grillo is, you know, because we couldn't find him. And he said, look behind the bedstand. And I moved the bedstand there, the grillo was. So I just got kind of like a paper and picked the grillo and put him outside. But, you know, those were little things, but God spoke to me and told me when I asked him, you know.
Yeah. You know, God is an everyday. He's with us all the time. And he cares about the little things. He does. And we just need, whatever we're need, we just need to go to God and listen. Amen. Frustrations come up in all kinds of ways, but God always knows the answer if we will take the time to take it to him and just listen. And he knows. Amen. Hallelujah. Any more testimonies?
So when we first started our ministry, Ramon and I were celebrating our 25th anniversary. And he's like, this passage God has given us in Isaiah. And so it's like, okay, you know, whatever you say, you know. And but as I would meditate on this scripture every single day, and I saw how God used it. Every time we went in, something in that passage was fulfilled over and over, to the point to where we asked the people when we would go there, does this normally happen? And they'd be like, no. And it's like, this was just God confirming over and over. Another time, a lady, we went to a city that we have friends, and we went to their Bible study, and somebody came to the Bible study that we didn't know, our paths had never crossed, she didn't know us, and she goes, I have a word for you. And she told us what it was, and it made absolutely no sense. But when it came to pass, it was like God was telling us, be ready, be prepared, and be comforted, because you're going to go through this, but you're going to come out ahead in the end.
Amen, Rosie.
Mine was real recent. It was just yesterday. But I wanted to share it because I've been praying, having everybody pray for my other daughter, Nina, the one that sings and talks a lot, is my one daughter. But I have another daughter, and being a single mom with two daughters, we've been praying for her. She lives in Bisbee, and it was cold and ugly yesterday. I just want to stay home, and I get stuck. That's not a good word. I get stuck babysitting a lot for Nina and Mitch. And their kids and their oldest daughter wanted to go see Tia Sonia and Bisbee. And I'm like, I don't want to go. And Nina had to go to Sierra Vista and do a bunch of stuff. And she says, Mom, just go. It's okay. And Sonia works in a restaurant. She's a waitress, and she works all day. And I thought, well, we'll go eat lunch and see Sonia. That'll be a visit to stir up some love with her, because she's been lost in a horrible marriage that we've already prayed about here in church. It's just a year old marriage, but still, it's hard on your heart when you know your daughter's living that way in a loveless home and a hard husband with a hard heart. And we went, and Sonia was out of work already. I passed her in the traffic circle, and she was headed home, and she says, Mom, meet me at home. And I went, and her husband was home, and they're getting out Christmas decorations, and the home had a spirit that was so light and beautiful and love, and they were kissing on each other like they were in high school. And I just wanted to share it because all the ladies and everybody's been praying. We've been praying for Sonia, and God wanted me there. He wanted me to see that. I hadn't seen that. I hadn't ever seen them that way. And they put up their Christmas decorations, and you know, you could just go home so thankful that, because I've been wanting to know why she's staying there. Why is she going through all kinds of horrible things? And he had been telling me to trust him and to trust him that he is bigger, because this guy's a big guy and thinks he's bigger than God, and he's not. God is bigger, and I needed to see it, and it was a good day.
Amen, yes. Amen. And the trip we just went on, we visited a lot of relatives. You come on up. I'll just finish quick. But we've had one of our granddaughters married a guy that used to be a Christian, but he came home from Afghanistan thinking he was a Muslim, and that's how they had been going. And they asked us to stay in their home, and we just said, okay, we'll stay with you. We stayed 3 nights with them. And we've been praying for him, but the atmosphere was so different than it's been before. It was so different. And we would, after everybody else would leave, we would sit around and talk about the Lord. And they were just like sponges. They were just receiving. There's really been a change of atmosphere. And so we're praising God for that. in Jewel's life and home.
Sorry if I'm teary-eyed here. My name's Susan, and I was an active duty military and Army wife for 27 years. And 2 years ago, my husband left me, and I had thought I had a hard life. I've had cancer twice. My only daughter became a heroin addict, and my husband left me. And I thought I felt like God abandoned me. And I had a lot of, like, backsliding. And I met my fiancé, Jerry, about a year ago, and he kept telling me that's not true and that things will work out and God hasn't forgot me. And when we got here, my ex-husband would send my alimony late at the very end of the month each month so that I would get evicted. This is the fourth house I've been in since April. And but in the end, what I thought were disasters, getting evicted from these other homes, allowed me to find a lady who wanted to sell her property, own her financing, and allows me to make my payment whatever day of the month I want, as long as I make my payment. And the property and land is beautiful, just like I always wanted. And so it's not really like prophecies or anything like that, but sometimes when you feel like God's abandoned you, he's really not, because if I hadn't gotten kicked out of the other homes, I never would have found this one. And it's kind of works in mysterious ways.
Amen. Yes, he does. Would you let me pray for you while you're here? Just, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for turnaround. Turn around in her life. I thank you, Father, for new open doors. Yes, and Jerry, Lord, I just pray for turnaround in their lives, that you open doors, that you open up beautiful things before them, that they will hear your voice, that you will supply their every need through the most unexpected means. Lord, we just thank you for just being close to them in the spirit, drawing them close, putting your arms around them, blessing them, Father, and just meeting every need that they have. And we thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
And I haven't been to church since 1988, and I like it here. I'll be back next week.
Wow. Well, welcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Good things. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we just thank you. It's such a privilege to learn your word. It's such a privilege to hear testimonies and to know how very much you love us right where we are. We just thank you, Lord, for igniting a hunger in our hearts that we earnestly desire the good gifts and the good things that you have for us. We give you all the praise and glory and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bless the food that's back ready for us in the kitchen. We bless it. We thank you for blessing us with good food. And we bless it in your name with thankful hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's lots of food for everybody to stay and eat. There's an abundance of food back there. So
just a reminder, all kids.
Yay! The adults can eat first. No.
Might as well. You got to hold the button down a few seconds and then it'll go off.